So reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 13, text 1. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Sajiyat Krishna Chaitanya Sri Ratha Gre Nanartaya Inasij Jagatam Chitram Jagannatho Pivismita. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who danced in front of the car of Sri Jagannath, be all glorified. By seeing his dancing, not only was the whole universe held in wonder, but Lord Jagannath himself became very much astonished. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Taksurum Nirtam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manogishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Padantikam Adadanastanam Danter Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padamboja Dulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yug Bhakti Visampayatnai Apayam Amarabhiksimandham Kripam Buhiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhumasriyami Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Gadadhar Sivasadevor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You want to turn the light up a little bit? Some people could see me. Okay, that's good, yeah. So greetings from Sayreville, New Jersey. Tomorrow will be my last day in America, and then the classes will be from India at the same time. But this was a very wonderful ending to a fruitful stay in America. We had the opening of a temple. It's hard to describe, but it's really like you're in India. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Maybe he'll listen. Shut the door, though. Shut the door. It's really like you're in India. You know, ancient old wood doors and a separate temple room, and just really, really wonderful. And we had 100 people for the opening, and all sorts of people appreciating it. And before I speak today, just a little thing too. One about a temple and one about deity worship. First about a temple, it's nice to have, and traditionally the people who do worship or meditation, they have a sacred space. A sacred space means, even if it's a closet, this is quite, I mean, we had 100 people in the temple, so it's quite a substantial thing in the house. But sacred space means that to do meditation, you need an area that's reserved for meditation for Krishna. And I've explained a little bit about yoga psychology, and the reason why is because we have mental imprints called samskaras from whatever we do. And according to our upbringing and our past life, we have attraction for different things. And when you are, one thing that brings the mental imprints out, the particular desires for particular things, is if you are confronted with the object that made the impression. So if you have a mental impression that you like news and prajalpa and computers and the whole thing, if you chant your rounds in your office, the vrittis, the thoughts from those imprints, will come prominent, and you won't be able to meditate. You have attachment for family, fine, you know, but if you do it in the living room and the kids come, those imprints will come. If you're, you know, if you're a gyani and you like to read, and you do it in your library, you'll just be reading books, and you'll be agitated to do so. So to have a space where the external just nourishes or brings out the imprints you have for devotional life, or at least is void of the imprints you have for material life, facilitates meditation. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommended, even when we do meditation and chanting, you can put a cloth over your head, just so you don't. So this is nice, and I think it's a good example for others. Gopishore and Kishori Radha, you know, they have 4 children, and 3 of them are, I think, 2. But what they did is they had basically 2 kind of living rooms. They turned the sun porch into the regular living room, and they turned it into a space, and it will increase their spiritual life. Their meditation will be definitely more focused. So that's really good. And also the thing with deity worship, really, if it's done properly, and Sri Vrindavan is a very nice Vaishnava that lives in New Jersey, Brahmin family, but a real humble person, very expert. He did the Abhishek, which was beautiful. Those of you on my website, I think we'll get pictures up there. I asked him to speak about deity worship also. And it is very nice. He spoke 9 items of devotional service. And what do they mean? They mean the main ways in which your consciousness can be absorbed in God. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, chanting, hearing, remembering. Pratisevanam, Archanam, prayers, Archanam, worship. So there are 9 processes, and of those 9 processes, the ones that are the most absorbing are hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing these scriptures, associating with saintly people who embody those scriptures, residing in the holy Dham, which is the greatest impetus externally, because it's not just this. It's not just that you create a sacred space in your home. The whole place is a sacred space. Everyone sees how much easier it is to meditate, to see spiritual life there. Chanting the holy name, Nam Sankirtan, and worshiping the deity. And then he made a very nice correlation. I don't think Gopi Kishore and Kishore Radha before me, because they didn't so much service, could be there when he spoke. But he made a very nice correlation, because Tara Madhya Sattva Shreshtha Nama Sankirtan Nira Aparabde Poya Paraya Premadan. Of all the 9 processes of devotional service, chanting is the best. But the correlation is chanting, to be absorbed and focused, has to be done with feeling. And this is actually why bhakti in the Bhagavad Gita is considered the topmost yoga. Because if yoga is to quell the mind, the best way to quell the mind is to concentrate on one thing. And if that object is spiritual and you have a natural attraction to that object, then the concentration will be most absorbed. So feeling, and what is that feeling? The feeling is sambandha, or relationship, because we have a relationship with God. So what is that feeling, or sambandha? Sambandha means relationship, but the more specific the relationship is, the greater the absorption. So you think of, you want to be absorbed in a person, then you're absorbing them with a feeling. What's the feeling? The feeling is your relationship with the person, right? Just like you have your little child here. The feeling isn't Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances. The feeling is, I am your maintainer, Kishore. I am your protector. Now, Kishore is smiling like anything, because Kishore is a mama's boy. He has triplets, so he has a brother and a sister, but only he wants to occupy the lap of his mother and no one else. This is his mentality. So, sambandha feeling. So in Vaishnav, how is that feeling developed? The feeling is developed by getting an Ishtadev. An Ishtadev means God, who is your goal. And that comes in the form of the deity. And traditionally, it comes in line from the spiritual master, because the line of teachers you have, that one has in the guru parampara, has a particular deity. And in our line, the deity is Krishna in Vrindavan and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you develop, the sambandha, the relationship. And then that helps you in your chanting, because the name is the deity. The deity is the name. Shabda Brahman. Shabda Brahman means God appears in sound. And the deity here is Jagannath. And who's Jagannath? Daru Brahman. The God who has appeared in wood, the transformation, it's very wonderful. So you develop that sambandha, that feeling, and with that feeling you can develop prema, and that's why in the Bhagavatam, and Jiva Goswami cites this in his Bhakti Sandarbha, of the first verse he describes, to describe the glory of Nam Kirtan is evam vata swapriya nama krita. That you should chant Kirtan, Swapriya, with the Supriya Nam. Swa means your own love, Nam. The name, the Nam of your Swapriya. We all know that. If you think of someone, even in a material thing, if you think about someone you love, then when you chant that name, it's much more absorbing. And ultimately, our eternal relationship is with God, and all others are actually temporary. We know they're temporary because we all die. But the soul doesn't die. Akinchana Krishna, we had a little morning program here too, and quite a few devotees came. I just finished Jagannath Prasad breakfast, and how my class will go. But Akinchana was saying, when they went to this japa retreat up in Sharanagati Farm, very beautiful up in Canada, and Jai Gwaitamarj is there, and the first thing they did is they asked all the people that were there at the retreat, because there was a wide variety from people that were 15 young kids on this tour to, you know, my godbrothers who are now in their late 50s and 60s, and Akinchana said, as they went around, the older people were embarrassed to say their age. This is my name. And when they got to Jayadvaita Swami, he said, I'm Jayadvaita Swami. I'm eternal. What a wise guy, right? Even the kids here are laughing here. So this sambandha, the deity, it's so important. It reorients you. You also describe something, even in subtle psychology, there are tattvas or realities that keep us bound in this world that have to be purified. And one other, There's five material elements, right? Earth, water, air, ether, and fire. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. And each of those elements embody a different sense, object of the senses. For example, earth embodies fragrance, because none of the other elements have fragrance. Only the earth has fragrance. You can smell earth. You can't smell water. You can't smell fire. You can't smell air. You can't smell ether. And then earth, water. Water embodies taste. Fire, ether, air does not have taste. And fire, and then fire embodies sight. You can't see air or ether. And then air embodies touch. You can't touch ether. And ether embodies sound. So to spiritualize the body, those elements have to be purified. And he described, this is not the concentration of the deity. The concentration of the deity is to offer our love to God fully, to get rid of the egoistic platform that I am the center of the world, which is why we're encased in this world. But from a subtle platform, just adding a little, that when you offer the different elements to in this puja or worship, when you offer the, first you offer the incense, right? It's a fragrance, that's the earth, right? Then you offer the fire, that's the vision. Then you offer the water, that's the taste. Then you offer the chamara, the thin yak tail fan, that's the ether. And the peacock fan is the wind. He says even subtly, two things. One, you're recognizing that all elements in this world are meant for God. So everything, it's a symbolic and psychological phenomenon. I'm offering everything belongs to God. That's how you get out of illusion. What is illusion? Maya, not this. What's the illusion? That something is separate from God and therefore meant for your enjoyment rather than God's. So the whole process is to focus the consciousness on God and center one's life on God and therefore make one's life auspicious. Because that's auspiciousness. Auspiciousness is when you are acting according to your eternal nature. The harmony is being congruent with your nature. Our nature is to serve and love, and to serve or love means to put someone else in the center. So, very, very wonderful process. Some people yesterday at the program, Samantha came, and very nice to see her because sometimes she's ill. And she came last week in this, and she brought one nice man with her who was a very interesting. I spoke to the guy, really interesting to see. He seemed like a very peaceful guy, and he said when he grew up on the sea because his parents had, their parents were like, you know, outdoorsman type, and they like really just rented out their house, and they had this boat. I guess, you know, you take people on cruises, I don't know how it works, and they rent out the yacht or whatever it is. And so he said he practically grew up on the sea. Yeah, so he was talking to me, and somehow the conversation got in, and this other lady that came with him also. And it got into the story where I was kidnapped. And the culmination of that story, well, I don't like to tell it, but it just... They asked me some question that just led into this story. And whenever I tell this story, people are just like focused. But it culminated in my parents who since, you know, came to India and practically people saw my family last week, how favorable they are. But, you know, somehow out of love and out of attachment and out of, you know, not understanding and out of my own immaturity of entering a new religious movement, the whole combination didn't work out good. But they kidnapped me, I escaped, And then they tried to commit me to a mental hospital. And when I saw the psychiatrist, he was interviewing me. And what happened was, is because I got kidnapped, I couldn't finish my prescribed amount of japa meditation. So when I was waiting to be interviewed, and I had my beads, there's a way you can count on your fingers. So it takes both hands. You can chant, you can count 108 by those 12 joints. So you do joints, and then on the other hand, you put one. So 9 times 12 will be 108. So you finish one round. So there's a way of doing it. So I was moving my fingers and walking around in the lobby, and he saw me. So he thought that I was talking to myself, and I kind of fit in with the rest of the people there who were also talking to themselves. You know, so it's relevant to deity worship, believe it or not. And please excuse me because, again, we had nice Mongol Artik here. Kinchana Krishna came and led the Mongol Artik. Govardhan Lal was here. Premanava, some of you know them. Palani. And Gopa and his wife, and it's a real temple. We had beautiful objects, and after that, we all had prasadam, so the class will have a special fervor of the ecstasy of Jagannath Prasad. We had at the feast, there were 25 preparations, and they were in these clay cups, and they were all on the altar, very authentic, and it was a real. So we had the famous Jagannath coconut crepes. It's like a pancake rolled in, and we had Jagannath tongues, which is kind of a really interesting, and there was Mohan Tal from Gujarat sweet, and there was sweet rice, and there were Punjabi jalebis, and sweet rice, and it was quite a few things, and then we had the Jagannath coconut dal, the sweet dal, and we had lutra. We had the same preparation that we described last week in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when Lord Chaitanya wanted to feed all the devotees. And he said, give them all the sweets, give them all the fried things. I'll just take this simple mixed sabji. So we had that. I have to concentrate. It's okay. I lost my train of thought there, but so we had all the different preparations. It was really nice to I was in the method. You might decide, I'm supposed to say, I say, you were in, and my disciple yelled out, you were in a mental hospital. You're allowed to do that. It's okay. You reminded me, that's your service. But if Lord Nityananda goes into the bar, he's not an alcoholic. He's just going to enlighten the people. That's says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But what happened is, so I to the psychiatrist, so he looked at me. First thing he said, were you hallucinating? I said, why? He said, well, I saw you talking to yourself. Because he saw me in the hall. I said, I forgot I told him. Then I said, and then what happened is, I was reading my Guru Maharaj's purports, Prabhupada's purports, and something stuck in my mind that was so relevant to this. I said, well, I wasn't hallucinating, but it can't be said I was seeing the same thing as you. I said, just like a rose, if someone is not a devotee of God, he sees that as energy separate from God and meant for his own selfish pleasure. But if one is a devotee of God, he sees that rose as God's energy and meant to be offered in loving devotion. So, although I wasn't hallucinating, it cannot be said that I was seeing the same thing as you. And his like jaw dropped. And he said, that's very intelligent. And he had interviewed my parents first to find out what they thought was wrong. He said, I think, he said, that's very intelligent. He said, I think your parents are crazy. So that's the idea. Everything is God's energy, and if you recognize it as God's energy and use it for love and devotion in service of God and his separated and differentiated parts and parcels, others, spiritual life means for others. So therefore, the deity helps us to focus on that. But you cannot worship the deity with love and devotion and treat others badly. Jiva Goswami explains, if you do that, it's kind of like a person who treats his spouse nicely outside, but then in the house treats them nasty. You don't call that love. Right? It's not love. So if you worship the deity with love and devotion, but don't worship others and treat others with respect, because the deity is a receptacle for God. That's where God is. God is also in others' hearts. If you don't treat others properly, then the worship is not accepted. But what it's meant to do is enhance the mood of living for others. Very wonderful. Anyway, a little bit about that was a little bit about deity worship in some bunch. And now this Leela, which is Jagannath Leela. And as you remember, we just finished the pastime of the Gundicha temple and then the kirtans, the Prem Ras. This is how you get that Prem Ras. We were discussing that, the love, the devotion. And then they shared prasadam, because this is how love is exchanged between others. And then they all go to the Jagannath temple with such enthusiasm that they transcend the rules and regulations of the temple. Because they're not supposed to go a certain place, I forgot where it is, and they go running to see Jagannath. But because they're on another level, they're not violating the law. It's just like, you know, if I travel from here in Sayreville and I go to Manhattan, there will be stoplights, there will be tolls. I can't go through the stoplights. I have to stop at the stop signs. I have to pay the toll. But if I elevate myself to an airplane, I can just go through everything without stopping. So when you achieve the level of spontaneous devotion, then the rules that are meant to help you get there may be transcended. You may or may not follow it. But so we see the spontaneous, and then they see Jagannath, and then they're just looking on Jagannath. Now here is the next verse where the ecstatic dancing of the Lord is described. It's an introduction. By seeing his dancing, the whole universe was held in wonder, but Lord Jagannath himself became astonished. Good, good, because you were all, did you hear the lecture, Pani, or you were also doing the service? So you were in and out. You have to hear, this lecture is going to be posted. The speciality of Jagannath. Why Jagannath is the highest manifestation of God. Because the Jagannath deity, ordinary deities of Krishna, are this beautiful, human-like, threefold bending form. Krishna's tilted at the head, right? And he's tilted at the waist, and he's tilted at the knees, and he's blowing the flute. And it's so beautiful. Everyone knows that the most beautiful deity is Krishna. That's why even people who don't believe in Krishna, when you go to Kumbh Mela is the festival they hold in India once every 12 years at the confluence of the Jamuna, the Ganga, and the Saraswati. This festival is amazing. 30 million people come to bathe on one day. You can't even imagine. And they build a city on the banks of the river where millions and millions of people live. Completely functional city. Indians are great when they want to do things for God. And it's real organized. You can't believe how organized it is. But at this festival, even the people that don't believe in God, they hold Krishna Leela because it's so attractive. And even Prabhupada said he had a German, my guru had a German godbrother. Looked like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. The way this person became a devotee of Krishna, he was looking all over India, I want to find God. And he looked at the forms of Shakti, Durga, and Parvati riding lions with pitchforks and Lord Shiva with the snakes and the ashes and the, you know, looked at all the forms and he saw the form of Krishna. This person is so intelligent. He said, that must be God because God must be enjoying. And then when Prabhupada told that story, Prabhupada said, one person challenged him after the lecture. Because Prabhupada was, you know, some, and Prabhupada was talking about yam and niyam. So he's saying no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. Because illicit sex destroys cleanliness. Intoxication destroys austerity. Gambling destroys truth. And meat eating destroys mercy. And these are the pillars of spirit. These are the pillars of jhana. These are the pillars of spiritual life. So Prabhupada, in that circumstance, was speaking very strongly about that. So one wise guy in the audience asked the question, says, what do you do for recreation, Swami? And Prabhupada said, our movement is simply recreation. Chanting, dancing, feasting. He said, you never see a picture of Krishna in the spiritual world wearing a construction helmet and smoking a cigarette. One time, Prabhupada was challenged. Don't let me, I'm a little intoxicated from this Jagannath Prasad. So, don't let me forget to explain why Jagannath is the highest manifestation of God. The highest. Even of Krishna. And we describe that even people have higher and higher manifestations. If you see someone outside, he's a stranger. Although you're seeing him, you're not seeing him, his person. And that's his loving relations. That's what a person is. You're not seeing his heart. The physical form is just a shadow of the real person. The real person is the loving dealing that that body is used for. It's the heart. And then at the office, then you know, oh, this guy's the high court judge. So you see something else. But then when he's at home, then he's also a lover. He's a parent. He's a, you know, a son or a daughter himself to his family. So even a person has higher and higher manifestations, where the heart opens up more and more and it's revealed more and more. We worship Krishna because it's God at home. It's the full open heart, Akila, Rasa, Mrita, Murti, the full embodiment of relationships. So we worship Krishna, but why is Jagannath the highest manifestation of Krishna? One more Prabhupada story. Prabhupada was describing the social order in India according to one's birth, not according to his work and qualifications. He's describing there's a laborer class, there's a mercantile class, there is a administrative class, and there's an intellectual class. And the intellectuals shouldn't just be scholars. It really means, Prabhupada once said, how do you train intellectuals? Right? How do you train mentors and teachers? Prabhupada didn't give books they read. He gave qualities that they cultivate. So how do you train? Because when it talked about the, you know, the mercantile class, it's described as four types of activities. There's banking, there's trade, there's you know, agriculture and cow protection. He describes what they do. When he describes, well, how do you train the mentors or the teachers, which are the most important part of society? Like the head. Head's the most important part of the body. He said, Shamo Damastapo Sao Cham, Shantir Arjavam, Avacha, Gyanam Vijanam Astikam, Brahma Karma Subhavacham. How does a teacher work? How do you train him? Well, shemot demas, tolerance and self-control. Shemot demas tepo, austerity. Shantia, peacefulness. Shemot demas tepo, saucha. Shantia, arjavam, honesty, avichak. Yanam vijanam astikam. Jnanam means knowledge. That's one of the elements. Vijnanam, realization of the knowledge, astikam. He's disciplined, regulated, and religious. Brahma, karma, sugata. This is how a Brahmin works. This is how a teacher works, by executing those qualities. So Prabhupada was saying, we need first-class men. There are four classes of men, but we need first-class men. And the purpose of ISKCON is to train first-class men. So there was a wise guy in the audience. He raised his hand. He said, Swamiji, you're talking about training first-class men. What class are your men? What class are you? So what does he say? The prophet said, I'm first class. Then it will appear that the whole thing is a promotion to put him in charge. And if he says fourth class, he's just condemned people who are, you know, lower class, whatever it is. Right? And Swamiji, what class are you? There's four classes of men. What class are you? Prabhupada said, I'm fifth class man. I serve the other four classes. So now, why Jagannath? And we're seeing, when Lord Chaitanya, when people saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing, the whole universe was held in wonder, and Jagannath himself became a star. So I told this story yesterday, and as the three people here were not here, I can do it. I'm thinking this, well, the story was very interesting, because deities are manifestations of particular leelas and pastimes, like there's Radha Gididhari, it's Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, you know, blowing the flute. So here's the story. I can't tell it with the drama I did yesterday. But Krishna was in Dwarka. We know that Krishna left. And it's a real mystery that Krishna was in Dwarka for 96 years, and the residents of Vrindavan, where he comes from, are dying in separation. They can't function anymore. In fact, Uddhava is closest associate, and Balaram, his brother, went back to pacify them. So he knew the condition they were in. They practically couldn't live, and they were going mad out of ecstasy. Jalpa Pati Jalpa Radharani, she was so mad with love for Krishna that when she saw a little dark black bumblebee, this is where I go into Rimsky Korsakov's Flight of the Bumblebee. And so the bee is coming. Radharani sees the bee, and her love, when you're in an emotional state, you're just reactive. So her love is so deep, she sees the bumblebee, and she becomes reactive, and she thinks that it's a messenger from Krishna. She becomes very Uddhava, who was sent to Vrindavan to pacify the gopis, with a message from Krishna. Saw this and just saw her love. Krishna had left so many years ago and she was still in a state of ecstasy. She looked at the bumblebee and she said, you are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master. But Krishna, there's a reason he didn't go back. There's many reasons. But one of the reasons is their love was so deep in separation. But he'd have to stay there for quite a while to ease them out of their stupor of transcendental devastation, separation, love. But as they would just be arriving to the point of consciousness, and they would see Krishna, the first impression would be, Krishna, he may leave again. And then they would go into a deeper state than they were initially in. So Krishna, he didn't know what he would do. It's also because in tattva or science, Krishna is non-different than our thoughts and devotion of him. and he's always manifest in their heart, in reality. He's always there also. This is very deep. Only Iendra can explain these things. There's a kinchiness here, and there's this Iendra. You know what I'm saying? I can't figure out the separation that you can get in, you know. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. So Krishna can go back, but sometimes he gets in separation. So Krishna falls into separation from Radharani in Dwarka. And he's so deep that he's going into this stage of love called Mrityu. The stage of love called Mrityu, or death, is the separation is so deep and the love is so high and the object of your love is not before you, that you don't die what you want to. And you're in that stage of... So then what happens is, and I was explaining the transcendental system. I was explaining how this works. But everything's connected by the super soul. So the great sages immediately come, because this is an existential crisis. Because if God goes, everything's finished. So they come. And they come. And who comes but Uddhava and Narada Muni. And then they go, oh, this is very serious. Narada Muni, the only thing that will get Krishna out of this is good Krishna bhajans. Narada Muni, why don't you sing? Narada Muni bhajaya vina radhika ramana mana. And if you sing, Narada Muni has the vina. So you can imagine Narada Muni singing on the vina. Right? When Danya did, we had an Odissi dance, because the deities are Arisan, right, from Puri. So we had the original Odissi dance done by the Devadasis. There was these ladies that used to get married to the deity. They would be trained, and no one would see them, and they would just do these dances. So Danya was studying Odissi dance. It was very nice. Yeah. So she had a few children up there, and she was training those children also. She goes to the Sunday school every other week or something. So she called them up, right? And she was explaining, and she's testing the children. She explains, I'm going to do a dance where the baby Dasi dresses in the morning with the mirror and, you know, the necklace, and then goes to Jagannath, that's the dance, and begins to play all kinds of instruments for Jagannath. And, you know, there's the veena. And then, what other instruments were there? What? Kartals. And what? Flute. So it was all these dancing with all these different things for Jagannath was offered. She asked the children, what type of instruments do the Devi Dasis play for Jagannath? And one child says, bass guitar. They say guitar. She said, no, not guitar. You know, Vina. So they thought if Narada Muni plays his Vina, that the sound of that melody and that music with rock, with deep attachment. Jiva Goswami explains, why is all Indian music the best of the classical about Krishna and Radharani? Right? The Kathak, the Bharatanatyam, right? The Vajrayana. So much of it is that because all music initially is manifest from rag. And what is rag? Rag is existential love and devotion. It comes from the heart. Right? That's why the good musicians, right, are not just people who are singers, but where the music is connected to their heart. And when that comes out, then it's an incredible experience. So Narada Muni is such a good musician, and it's from his heart and devotion. And even Krishna's in a comatose state, the vibration will somehow enter and perhaps give him life, wake him up. And then Narada Muni is very intelligent. Therefore, go get Dwarka, the chariot driver. And when we get the chariot driver will drive him to Vrindavan. And then to meet the gopis. But Uddhava said, Uddhava said, look, you don't know what you're doing. I was sent by Krishna to Vrindavan. I see the state of the gopis. If Krishna comes there without any preparation, the shock will be so great that the first thing that will happen is when Krishna comes and sees their level of distress, Krishna will go into a state of deeper emotion. And the gopis will react in the same way. You just can't send them. It's just too great a shock. They may leave their bodies, and who knows what will happen with Krishna. So Narada says, well, okay, then why don't you send someone, why don't you go, Uddhava, and tell them that Krishna is coming. Therefore, they'll be prepared, and they can eat, and we'll have a wonderful union of Krishna and the gopis. Uddhava said that. You don't understand. I sent that message from Krishna. When I saw Mother Yasoda just weeping and crying, and I saw the gopis not even able to function, the only thing I can do eventually to pacify them is says, Krishna will come soon, Krishna will come soon. But now if I go back and Krishna is not there and I tell them again, they'll just say, you're a liar. Who can believe you? He told us he'd come back. Where is Krishna? Uddhava said, And Narada Muni said, what? Hey, Balaram, Krishna's brother, let Balaram go. Balaram said, you remember I went back for 2 months, I had the Rasa dance with some of the gopis. I also made that promise because I saw Mother Yasoda weeping so deeply I didn't know what to say. I come back, they won't believe me. So Subhadra says, I'll go. And when I come, I'll say, I came with Krishna and Balaram back, but they're such famous people that people have stopped them on the road to offer them worship and build gates and welcoming them. They'll be right here. And also, I'll wipe the tears from the gopis' faces, and I'll say, you know, you can't trust those men. They came and they told you lies. But when us ladies get together, we're truthful to each other. We express our hearts fully. These men, they just lie. So you Uddhava, Balaram, but when I say they'll come, I know what pain you're in. These men, they don't understand these things at all. They don't understand the pain that we feel. But I'm a lady, and I understand you. I'm not talking about ordinary men. All the ladies in the audience are shaking. Yes, yes, we know the nature of these men. Why are all you ladies shaking like this? Are us men so bad that you what is this audience? I told you, we had Upma and fruit, so many things for breakfast. I took just a little bit so that I can stumble into the class. How? What happens is, they said, yes, Subhadra, you go. But then Balaram, he's missing Vrindavan, just like the Kinchana, right? You're missing Vrindavan, right? So I'm going to Vrindavan, and you're going to go to Vrindavan. And Kishore has to stay back. So he says, I'll go. So Balaram goes, he gets in the chariot, and he's going to Vrindavan, and Subhadra is following behind. That's Ratha Yatra. And then, when they get there, then as they leave, they left, and then Narada Muni starts to play the Veena. Narada Muni Bhajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name. And it's and the vibrations and the sounds. And he begins chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the Yugala mantra of Radha and Krishna. Then he begins to chant Radha Krishna Panamora. Yugavakishvara Jivane Morani Gati Arunahimo. Kinshina, we did this yesterday. I was sitting in the same place. And Namras, the Kamul, you know he's initiated. Namras was sitting next to me. And he would break out in the Madanga. So it was really... It wasn't Gaur Govinda Swami, but, you know, it still was nice. He broke out with the Madanga. So Krishna awoken up, and he was in the mood of Vrindavan, although he was in Dwarka, which is where he's the king, not the cowherd boy. He said, "Where is my flute? Get me my peacock feather." And then he kind of looked, "Uddhava, what are you doing here? What are you doing in Vrindavan?" Then he sees Narada Muni. "No, it's not Vrindavan. I must go to Vrindavan." So he gets on the chariot. Now, when Balaram enters into Vrindavan, he sees the devastated state of love of the residents of Vrindavan. The gopis are crying. They're on the floor. They're devastated. And when he sees that, there's a transference of that love. You see, he empathizes with them. Therefore, he has their feelings. And therefore, within Balaram, these ecstatic feelings arise. In Sanskrit, they're called astika-sattvika bhavs. There are eight emotional feelings that are so powerful that they're emotional experiences that happen involuntarily. Hairs stand on end, so many things. But he goes in to the highest stage of love and separation, which is called Mahabhav Prakash. And in that state, described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's no difference between his soul and his body. So whatever he's feeling manifests externally. And we see this with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His arms just contract into his body, and his eyes just become dilated and very big. And Subhadra sees Balaram, and then sees the resonance, same thing happens to her. And then, shortly after, Krishna comes, and he heads right to Nidavan, where Radharani has the Nishant Leela, the night Leela. And what happened is, when all this emotion happened with Balaram and Subhadra and the gopis and saying Krishna may come back, Radharani went into the state of separation and ecstasy. She fainted in Nidavan, and people thought she was dead. They brought out cotton to see, by her nostrils to see if there was any air left. That's the way you can tell a person who goes into ecstasy, whether he's dead or he's in ecstasy. If he's in ecstasy, then the slight breath will move one of the cottons because it's mithu, so it's near death, but there's a slight air still keeping the body alive. And that's actually a fact. I think in Mayapur, Gaur Govinda Maharaj went into a state of ecstasy and achieve bhava or something. And they tested him like that or something. There's some story like that. It's not, these things are real. So what happened was, Radharani's in this state, and then Krishna comes into Vrindavan with the chariot, and Krishna sees Radharani, and Krishna goes into a high state of Mahabhav. The emotions of devotion overwhelm Krishna. And his hands go into his body. And his eyes become big. And then what happens is he's laying there and Radharani's laying there. And then the wind of Vrindavan comes. Vayenu Jastam, the wind also serves Radha Krishna, because the wind carries fragrances. Now we know how fragrant Radharani is, that even when she was hiding from Krishna in a forest of magnolias, Krishna could tell where she was by her fragrance. We know how bright Radharani is, that her luster puts gold in a painful condition. So the wind blew over Krishna's fragrant body. Radharani smelled Krishna and woke up and then saw Krishna in this form. And then when he saw Krishna in his form, she told Lalita, wake up Krishna. So Lalita went to the ear of Krishna and went,
Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, Govinda, Radhe, 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 Govinda, Govinda, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe.
Beautiful though. And Krishna wakes up, and Krishna decides to stay there because it's the Kshatriya for the night. In the morning, they wake up early before the sunrise, and Lalita does artik, and all the gopis begin to do kirtan. That's what they do in the spiritual world, kirtan. I made the joke yesterday, if you don't like it here, you don't want to be in the spiritual world. That's what they do in the spiritual world. You play kartals in Mangalarti. Someone plays the drum. And they're playing these beautiful instruments. And then Krishna looks at Radharani and says, I have manifest this form of Jagannath so that I can just be, so that I can attain the depths of the ocean of your love. Because that's the depths of the ocean of Radharani's love. When Krishna sees Radharani after so many years in that state and goes into this form, and I will reside in Sri Kshetra Jagannath Puri. So Jagannath is the most intimate manifestation of Krishna, because it's a manifestation of Krishna in the form of him tasting the highest love for Srimati Radharani. Did you know, Kishori, the depth of what you're getting yourself into? What? No, Jagannath is merciful too, because Jagannath still comes out, so it's such a nice worship, right? And I was explaining, all the leelas with rats or transportation are the leelas where the highest ecstasy is mentioned. Because what are the highest leelas? That leela, Krishna leaving Vrindavan, when Krishna is going from Vrindavan, that moment is the height of Radharani's love, which Krishna wants to taste. And the Rath Yatra, what is that? That's in Kurukshetra, when Radharani sees Krishna after 96 years and wants to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. That was what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was tasting in Rath Yatra. So these Jagannath. So it also commemorates that leela. So Jagannath, Baladeva, and Subhadra to satisfy the separation of Radharani. So we spoke on this a little bit more elaborately yesterday, but it's a great leela, isn't it? And you understand, so I'm really very, very excited. I may even come tomorrow morning and chant here and just be in the temple here. It's such a nice sacred space. I was here, I don't know if I'll do it because I'm leaving that day to India, but now I'm going on my own ride, Continental Airlines. And going to Vrindavan, so it's such a nice mood. So the mood of Jagannath is trying to serve Radharani by taking Krishna to Vrindavan. So Kinshana, the kirtan by Nam Ras, unparalleled. All his guardians, his guru guardians would have been very happy with him. 2 hours, incredible, wonderful kirtan. Abhishek was so nice because a lot of Abhishek's you can't see the beauties. You know, they were all, like, you know, 4 foot platform in Jagannath, and you know, from it's so nice that from any part in this room you can see the altar. You know, so people were watching the bathing of the deities, and then I gave this class on Puri. And the other interesting thing is, just as I was giving class, Samantha came with her two friends, who are not devotees, right? You know, nice people from New York City. They're actually, one's from Australia, one's from New Zealand, but they live in New York City. They're very dynamic people. I'm saying, oh my God, I was going to give this to devotees because they know Jagannath. Now I'm going to speak this high Leela, right? And new people are here. And my tendency is when new people are here, I got to speak to the new people. But I spoke the Leela anyway. And then the girls, and they were listening like anything. These new people were listening like anything. But they didn't have the content to understand. The guy said that was very interesting, you know? You know, that love is the highest thing. So he got something. And the lady was missing her boyfriend in Australia. So she was listening and going through all the... That's why this, you know, the symptoms of ecstasy are not just external, but you have to be detached, tolerant, perseverant, because the external symptoms can be imitated. And there's a famous story of someone watching Radha Krishna Leela, and this lady is just weeping, right? Weeping. Radharani is separated from Krishna. Everybody thinks she's so advanced. Wow, look at her. She's weeping. She's weeping. She's weeping. And they went after some of their sage. That's very incredible. I wish I can cry like you. Why are you crying? She said, because I had a goat named Radha, and Radha also left. You know? So the external can't always be judged. But Pallani, isn't this temple ecstatic, right? It's like I really feel like I'm India. I don't speak like this normally when I'm in America. I only speak these pastimes when I'm in Vrindavan, right? So it's really, really far out and wonderful. Hey, Kalpa, how you doing? You came right at the end of the Leela, explaining how Jagannath is the highest manifestation of Krishna. That was nice, wasn't it? That's the bell to the temple. People are taking darshan. It's like India. They come in during the class. Okay, would anyone like to say Hare Krishna? Boy, I hope people didn't. Someone there?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisance.
Oh, Amiya, okay, good. Thank you. Great. Okay, Amiya was there. Wherever there are garlands, there is Amiya. She makes the garlands. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Who's that?
All right.
Who's that?
Okay.
Hi, Bo? Who's that?
All right.
Who's that?
Vega the Tea.
Oh, Vega the Tea. And who else?
Mother Kalini.
Oh, Mother Kalini. That was the only part of the festival we were missing. We were missing Vega the Tea and Mother Kalini. But look, here's Kishori, and she's extending an invitation. When you come to New Jersey, that you come visit her Jagannath temple, okay?
Hi, Jagannath.
Okay. So please come sometime.
Okay.
With Kalini. And she has a nice room upstairs you could stay, okay? Good, thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
I heard Hare Kirtan?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Hare Kirtan, sir. One day you'll also should see this temple. It's so nice. Really.
I'm very anxious to now after hearing all about it. Thanks
well,
very much.
Well, I think you're also an artist, and you'll really appreciate from the furniture to the whole thing, and it's really beautiful, the temple. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes?
Before you go tomorrow, is there any chance that I will speak to you? I need your advice on a couple of things to move forward down here in D.C.
What if I call you in about an hour?
That would be perfect.
I'll do that.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Mother Indrani has joined our Sangha today. Everyone is smiling. They remember you. Thank you, Mother Indrani.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Neela.
Neela. Neela from like Neela, you know, Jagannath's original name is Neela Madhava. Wow.
Yeah, I think, thank you for such a wonderful class and bringing back some memories from Jagannath Puri.
Yeah, thank you. Neela was in Jagannath Puri. She's calling from France. And yes, Neela, you should see this Jagannath, this temple. It'd be inspiring to you because now you're going to have a child. It's such a nice thing to see this temple in the house, you know, and now it's even the day after the festival and devotees have come. And it's great. Thank you, Neela.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Gordon in Poughkeepsie. Thank you.
Gordon. Gordon was here too yesterday. Gordon, that was nice yesterday, wasn't it? Nice festival.
Very nice festival, Maharaj.
Thank you. Great. Who else?
Hi, Bo Maharaj. It's Shastra Das.
Shastra Das. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Okay. Nice that you can come. Who else would like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, we'll end for today. Thank you all very much. Lunchakalpa Trigusa, Kripa Sindhu, Deva Chapa, Pita Nambhani.